Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's waste no time and go right out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number one tonight. That is former NFL safety for the Denver Broncos, among other teams, Nick Ferguson. Nick, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
You know what? Holy smokes is a great way to start it off.
Man, yeah, you're right about that, Nick. Holy smokes. What in the world happened last night? I mean, this is something that we've got, as far as coaching is concerned, and of course you being a player, we had this thing called the 24-hour rule, and you let it fester for a little bit, or whatever problems ail you, or whatever you let it go after 24 hours. We're still within that. I almost just a little past it. What in the world happened last night?
Well, first and foremost, the 24-hour rule does not pertain to this. This is something that is going to linger and sting for a while. For Bronco fans, when you go back to last year when they lost to Baltimore, that was something that stung. This is going to linger around like that bad smell in your trash can. And it's going to take another offseason and to get back to a point where you put yourself in a position to get back to the Super Bowl where you'll be able to get that bad taste out of your mouth. Last night I'm watching this game, and I'm wondering what's going on. To me, I can only put it in boxing terms. It was just like, the Broncos came into the boxing match with a powerful straight jab, but they ran up against a southpaw with a mean uppercut, and they were just pounded, relentlessly with that uppercut, and they had no counter for it. I mean, that's the only way you can sum this game up.
You're right about that, Nick. One of the things that we can truly say is we'll remember where we were when we saw this game. And you, excuse me, you likened it to a boxing match. And I'll never forget where I was, in 1990. I'm on a recruiting trip in Oxford, Mississippi, at the University of Mississippi. And it was in February, and at the time, Buster Douglas was fighting Mike Tyson. And at that time, Mike Tyson couldn't be beat. There's no way in the world that this guy was going to lose. And sure enough, as soon as the bell rung and Mike Tyson stepped out there, Buster Douglas put on a clinic. And it almost looked like that last night with the Denver Broncos right from the snap. I mean, Peyton Manning in the bad exchange with the center, causing the safety. And, it just had that bad feeling, Nick, that things weren't going to go well that night. Wouldn't you agree?
You're absolutely right. When I saw that, I just said that something isn't right. The level of focus isn't there. And each year at the Super Bowl, we get one team that finds themselves on this side of the coin because you have 2 weeks to prepare for the Super Bowl. You got the media, all the shenanigans and the buildup and the hype. And sometimes some teams need to be able to go from that last playoff game right a week later and play that Super Bowl. And I think this is a Bronco team. They have a nice mixture of veteran guys and young guys, but they just didn't seem to be able to, as far as mental toughness, be able to take that surge and that initial, energy from the Seahawks defense and just kind of overcome it. I mean, when I look at this offense, and they came in, a very high-powered offense, a lot of weapons for Peyton Manning to throw to, it seemed like they never got on track. They resorted to those short passes. And when you go back, when the Seahawks played the San Francisco 49ers and the New Orleans Saints, the game plan seemed to be the same for the offensive units as it was for Denver. We're not going to throw to Richard Sherman. We're not going to challenge him down the middle of the field. And we're going to throw quick, short passes, majority of them screen passes. And now you're playing right into what Seattle wants to do. And that's exactly what the Broncos did. Adam Gase and Peyton Manning, they never adjusted.
Now, you can possibly appreciate this, Nick, being on the defensive side of the ball. watching the Seahawks defense last night, and I can imagine, you know, because I could see Ray Lewis, you know, on the sidelines. A lot of the defensive players were very giddy in watching what the Seattle Seahawks were doing and putting on an exhibition, a fine clinic, if you will, on how to respond to the ball, how to, you know, pursue angles and everything. I mean, it was a thing of beauty last night, wasn't it?
You know what? I'm sorry. I have to continue to go back to boxing references because it was just like watching Floyd Mayweather fight. And he is a, you know, tactician as far as how he dissects his opponent, how he picks and chooses where he's going to throw his punches. That's exactly what the entire Seahawks, our team as a whole, that's exactly what they did because they beat the Broncos on all three phases. They beat them on offense, they beat them on special teams, and they definitely beat them, you know, on defense. And when you play a game of this magnitude, you have to bring your A game. You have to bring your A game as a coach. You have to bring your A game as a player. And I know we can sit here and say, well, question Peyton Manning's legacy and say that he didn't have a great game. But when you look at the fact that the offensive line, and more importantly, that right side with Orlando Franklin, he was in Peyton Manning's face more than the Seattle Seahawks defenders. And anytime you have your offensive tackle in your face and you can't step up and follow through, that's bad. That's a bad sign. And once again, it was one of those things where you go back to some of the screenplays where they were throwing outside to Demaryius Thomas, one of their money plays, the bread and butter plays during the season. Eric Decker, for some reason, looked very timid and very hesitant as far as blocking outside on the perimeter. And then once Cam Chancellor came down and laid that first boom on Demaryius Thomas, that pretty much set the tone. Every pass that Demaryius Thomas caught from that point, he wasn't thinking about getting upfield. He was running parallel to the line of scrimmage. And I didn't get that.
Nick Ferguson with us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Nick, you mentioned 2 weeks of preparation leading up to the Super Bowl. Both teams have the same amount of time to look over tape, see the tendencies, and it was obvious the Seattle Seahawks were the better prepared team. Is that on the coaching staff of Denver, John Fox and his crew, or also on the players, a mixture of both?
I think it's a mixture of both. When you have 2 weeks to prepare for a game of this magnitude, once again, you have to think. You go back to the drawing board. You look at a couple of things that you didn't do well during the season. You add a couple of wrinkles. And every coach going into any game, they have maybe the first 30 or 20 plays already scripted, and then they go away from it based upon what's taking place in the game. Now, you know, we can say, well, John Fox didn't prepare his troops for a game like this. You know, I don't want to say that because, you know, once you get to this point as a player, you have to know this is the biggest stage. Seldom you get an opportunity to get to this point. And who knows, the Broncos might not see this for another 15 years yet again. So when you get to this point, you have to lay it all out there. You have to be sound in execution. You have to be really focused. And it didn't seem like, you know, they were focused as a team. Now, when you look at the coaching side, now it falls on the coaching when you're not making the proper adjustments as the game is being dictated by the opposition with the defense or the offense. And to me, that's where I would talk about maybe a Jack Del Rio or a John Fox, or more importantly, on the offensive side of the ball, Adam Gase. Because watching Seattle defense fast flow on a screen to a running back or a wide receiver, I'm sitting at home. I'm not an offensive coordinator. I'm thinking, okay, here comes the conversion route off of this. They're going to run a double move with the tight end. They're going to run a double move off of the screen. It never came. So I'm like, well, where's the adjustment? That's where it falls on the coach.
As a defensive guy, I'm sure you have to appreciate what the Legion of Boom and the entire Seattle defense was able to do, all the while your heartstrings being tugged because you're a Denver Bronco through and through.
Well, you know what? I appreciate great defense. And, you know, what Seattle showed the NFL, you know, I guess I'm excited about that part because I love defense. But, you know, for the past couple of years, we've heard the term elite quarterback use. We've heard passing league use. And when you use that, I believe you devalue other positions, more importantly, the running back position. And now we saw you need a mobile quarterback to succeed in this NFL. You need to have a ground game that gives you balanced attack of run and pass, and also you need to stop defense. And the way I look at it, whether it was San Francisco or Seattle and facing Denver, they were going to give them problems because both of those teams, when you look at them side by side at their roster, they were put together the same. Very physical, quick, aggressive guys up front. And the whole saying of defense wins championship, I think it trumped the whole idea of elite quarterback and passing league. So to me, I'm so fatigued by that both of those terms, and hopefully now Seattle has shown, guess what? No elite quarterback wins Super Bowls. It's only elite teams, and Seattle was just that, an elite team.
Nick Ferguson, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. You're talking about great defenses, and there's, of course, as we watched the game last night, the questions come out as far as, you know, Seattle being one of the greater defenses of all time. You're talking about, you know, the doomsday defense with the Dallas Cowboys, the steel curtain with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you're also talking about the, you know, a very daunted Chicago Bears defense. Where does Seattle rank as far as, you know, from the eye test, what we saw last night, and actually taking a deep breath and taking a look at the reality of it all, where does Seattle fit as far as greatest defenses?
Well, when we talk about great defense, don't forget those purple people eaters in Minnesota.
Yes.
You know, Seattle's a great defense. I don't want to take anything away from what they were able to do and accomplish this season as a unit and individually. But for me, maybe there's a little bias here. To me, the 85 Bears personify what defense is all about in the NFL. You know, and I haven't seen a better defense than that 85 Bears team. Now, whether they fit and whether they rank, I guess that depends on the people or the person that you're asking. But I would probably fit them maybe top 10, number 10 in the top 10. But I can't put them any higher than that, even though they played one heck of a game against the Broncos. But maybe there's a little bias on my behalf because I had an opportunity to see some of those great defenses and watch them on tape. So, but 85 Bears is still the best defense I've ever seen.
Now, one of the defenses that we have left out here, Nick, is of recent year, the 2000 Ravens. And, of course, that's a team that's very similar to what we saw last night with the Seattle Seahawks. You know, you had Suggs and Ray Lewis, and, you know, you had Ed Reed back there flying around, and, you know, very similar. Where would you rank them as far as all-time defenses as well?
Well, you know what? That Ravens team, like you said, I mean, they featured a lot of guys that will be Hall of Famers, and Ray Lewis is a Hall of Famer now. You know, I would put that defense probably maybe number two to that 85 Bears team. Once again, that may be a little bit of my bias or whatever. But you got to think about it. When you look at the Seattle Seahawks, I know I say I would rank them number 10. You know, you're talking about a bunch of guys that were not highly drafted. You got, you know, a fifth round and third round and fourth round guys. So they really made names for themselves. And I think sometimes that's what you have to do as a defense. You might not have that marquee safety. You might not have a John Lynch or Deion Sanders in your secondary, but you get a bunch of guys that learn how to play together collectively, and that seemed to be somewhat of a blueprint that Bill Belichick has used for several years with the New England Patriots now, and Pete Carroll is doing the same thing with the Seattle Seahawks. So, I mean, I think this is a team, if they're able to keep these guys together, and they're going to have some contract issues of trying to sign some guys back, but if they can keep the core guys together, there's a possibility this team can make another run.
Couple final moments here with Nick Ferguson, former NFL safety, longtime member of the Denver Broncos, as we dissect Super Bowl 48. And Nick, got to give you credit, man. We've had you on the show a couple times. I believe this is the third time for you. And each time you have said Seattle and Denver has been your pick in the Super Bowl, and you have been proven right, my friend.
Well, thank you for that, man. But, you know, I just try to look at how the teams are built offensively and, more importantly, defensively, and then what they feature. So I'm hoping that I can duplicate that same performance in this upcoming 2014 season.
So now that the NFL is season has concluded, and of course college has been done for a few weeks now, how do you pass the time? What do you do here moving forward as we move toward the draft? Do you have any TV analyst duties, radio analyst duties, any more secondary perspectives in the future?
Well, you know what? We just had a meeting tonight talking about what we're going to do with secondary perspective. That's the greatest thing about having a title like that. There's so many different things that we can do. Cousin Randall will hit the streets sometime shortly and do some sideline reporting to kind of get to know the people in the streets of L.A. But, you know, it's pretty much getting ready for, you know, the upcoming draft, looking at the basketball games, both college and the pro games, and see how things are going to shake out. And, you know, more importantly, spring training is right around the corner. So, as you know, you guys know just as well as I do, you know, it pretty much doesn't stop. One thing ends and then another thing begins. So I'm just trying to stay as active as I can be.
That's Nick Ferguson, former NFL safety. His secondary perspective is available on YouTube. Definitely subscribe to that and look forward to some great insight. And definitely check him out on Twitter as well. Nick, thanks so much for your time tonight. Appreciate your secondary perspective here on the Double with the Double S Express.
I appreciate that shameless plug. Appreciate it.
Man, hey, thanks, Nick. Thanks for being on. Hey, you know what? You do an awesome job, man. And again, you know, secondary perspective. I mean, definitely get out there and take a look at that for all of our listeners. Very entertaining and very insightful, man. So we appreciate the good stuff that you do.
Thank you, guys, man. And thank you for the Double Express, guys, for having me on. And hopefully we can do this again once we get to draft time.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan. Nick Ferguson, thanks so much for your time tonight. It's always a pleasure having a former NFL safety on the show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Man, that was awesome having Nick on and getting that perspective, Sean Wally, as far as the Denver perspective, defensively, offensively. Didn't really get a chance to talk too much about Peyton Manning, but I'm sure, you know, Denver has a lot to think about on where they go from here looking to the future. Coming back from the break, we have guest number two, a very special guest for us, Coach Cornell Ward, and he's going to be giving us his perspective from the Seattle Seahawks side. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours.
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 38 tonight. And let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Cornell Ward, the executive director of Unity One Foundation. You can find them at UnityOneFoundationInc.org. Mr. Ward, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hey, Coach, you know, so excited to have you on the show. And man, first things first, let's talk about that experience last night. Of course, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, Denver Broncos, in what was to be an epic Super Bowl, but it wound up being no contest. Of course, you being a Seahawks fan, how was that game for you last night?
Well, you know, we had it on the big screen. You know, obviously a lot of disappointed people, you know, they even had a preacher out here said that he was a prophet and said that the Denver were going to win. And I just said, well, we'll see when it's all over. And I think it was all over on the first snap of the ball game when the ball went into the end zone.
Hey, Coach, I think I'm getting a little feedback here. Do you have the radio on in the background?
Oh, they turned it down.
Oh, okay. All right. And so the Seahawks came out there from beginning to end and took care of business. For those of our listeners who don't know, you have a very special relationship with one of the coaches on the team, and that's the head coach, Pete Carroll.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pete and myself go back to when he was the very first day he was hired as the head football coach at USC. We've built a real good intimate relationship. I was the head football coach at Compton Community College, and a lot of our players and a lot of players from around the city with some great advice went over to SC, and you see the works of what took place of Pete Carroll starting a program called Always Win Forever. And, you know, when you get a coach where kids not only play to win but love you and play to win, this is the results of what takes place.
You know, Coach Carroll, you know, has a very big and very kind heart, and sometimes that gets misconstrued in the grand scheme of things or in the media. You know, people tend to talk about, you know, the negative things, the things that have happened at USC, the things that kind of followed him as he went on to become the head coach in Seattle. And here you are, you're mentioning that he's doing things with the inner city kids. And, of course, last week we had a special guest on, Jake Olson, who he's done some things for. And, you know, Coach Carroll, tell our listeners what kind of coach and what kind of person he is off the field. It sounds like he just has an open heart. And, you know, having my chance to get to meet you, Coach, you have the same thing, and it just makes for a great recipe.
Well, I tell you, he's just a guy who likes to pour into people and pour by speaking life into a dying situation, as we call it. We work in urban areas that are called war zones, and Pete and myself and a few of the other guys have traveled in these places where most people won't go. And he didn't have a big entourage. He didn't have law enforcement behind him. He just went because he knew that that was the right thing to do. And you understand a guy like that. He's not doing it for fame or fortune, even though those things are around him, but he does it because he has a passion for supporting the people, and I really appreciate that from anybody. You know, we need millions of Pete Carrolls, and then we would definitely be in a better place.
Cornell Ward, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And
yes.
Cornell, is it safe to say that, you know, Pete Carroll making the transition from college, returning to the NFL, that people were misconstrued of what his idea of coaching was, and to bring out the best in everybody and to have fun, because in the end it's a game, and there were questions with his rah-rah attitude, yet we see what he has done in Seattle by bringing home the Lombardi Trophy?
Well, yes. One is, you know, we've had some intimate conversations about, you know, what is that he could all do at USC, and he has accomplished what he needed to be accomplished at SC, being one of the winningest coaches in the history at that institution, and then being able to come to the Seattle Seahawks and turn a program that has never won a Super Bowl into winning one within a four-year period of time. I think that history speaks for itself. He sets a high standard, and it's called I'm all in. And when our guys buy into that, they are all in, and they leave it all on the field. And that comes with the good and the bad. You know, there's a lot of things that sometimes don't go the way you'd like it, but we don't cry about it. We don't find an excuse. We find a way, and I think that's the attitude that Pete Carroll puts into his players and the community. Let's find a way.
Now, Coach, let's talk about your role with Unity One and what you're doing with the inner-city kids and to teach them to reach their potential.
Well, Unity One, again, was founded by a gentleman by the name of Bo Darren Taylor, who passed away about 5 years ago of cancer. And Pete Carroll called me one day and said, "Hey, Cornell, I want you to come help this organization out." And I denied the first time. But knowing the family behind the organization, it approached me again, and I came back and ran the organization to the best of my ability. And it was all ran off of donations. We didn't have any federal or state or county funding. Pete Carroll himself and some of his colleagues and friends supported the agency. And we're doing a lot of community events to just save a life. You know, our motto and our logo is saving a life through respect and just giving guys respect all over the country.
Cornell Ward, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Hey, Coach, you know, going into the inner city, and of course, this isn't an easy task. You know, of course, you also being involved in the ministry, you know, this is something that could weigh heavy on you as far as the job, the task at hand. Yet you've sent over 700 youth to Division I, Division I AA, Division II, all across the country. And that says a lot about the things that you do as far as standing in the gap. How many of these players have gone on to the next level in the NFL?
Well, there's so many of that are going on to the NFL and playing arena and playing in Canada and playing all over the country. But the key for that is definitely that God had his hand in all facets of the movement. He could have chose anybody. It just happened to be me. I love Christ Jesus. He is my Savior. I just simplify that only by just speaking life into a dying situation. And a lot of my kids, I mean, I've had kids from all facets of life that got the message. And, of course, it was 700 then. It's over 3,000 now. You know, I have seven of my kids that got PhDs. You know, I got over 35 of my kids that got master's degrees. And I got like, I think it's more or less 1,400 that got BA degrees. So, I mean, the key is that they're about being about doing things the right way, because we've come from areas that things are always perceived to be wrong, and this is just another outlook that we don't get an opportunity like to be on a radio station like this that can promote positive impact to saving someone's life. So I really appreciate Sean and Sean. I appreciate you both.
Oh, man, we appreciate you for coming onto the show and spending some time and shedding light on a very important situation. Of course, you know, not just in the inner city, but the kids in general. They need our help, and I've always said that this is one of my adages. It takes, I didn't make it up, but it takes a village to raise a child, and it is so important, and it is so true, and you're definitely doing that, Coach, and I'm excited to have you on the show.
Well, I tell you, you know, I spoke to Coach Pete Carroll this morning, and, you know, I have a new book coming out, and it's called There Is a Way Out, and he's going to write the foreword in it, so, you know, all proceeds are going to go back to the inner city programs. And I really appreciate all the support that he's doing and what's to come.
Well, Coach, yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about the book, if you could?
Well, it's a little bit about my life story. Growing up in South Central, you know, just like a lot of the kids that are fatherless, and you learn to become a father, and then you learn to take care of that father role as far as being a father to the fatherless. And I'm just honored that I had the opportunity to be able to be in that position, because I've done a lot of things that were unethical that could have cost me my life, and or I could have died in prison. So, you know, I don't want to give you the whole scoop of the book. It'll be good for someone to purchase it so that they can have a good reading. It will be very educational and a door to have in someone's home. And not only their home, but school as well.
Cornell, what have you learned throughout your life that you're trying to pass on to the youth of the inner city that you're working with at the foundation today?
Well, it's simple. We must be able to forgive those who spitefully do us wrong. We must be able to honor thy mother and father, or grandmother or grandfather, or whoever is the high priest or the sibling of that household who's taking care of you. That line of respect, and then trust God. You know, a lot of people, they're not believers, but if they could just trust God, He will save you from you.
That's good stuff.
What is the hardest part about that? Is it going on that, having that blind faith and being able to overcome the hurdles in your life?
Well, of course, one is because our babies now have the opportunity to be in the superhighway, the fast lane, the TV, those type of things that get in their way from actually seeing what they need to see in regards to the long haul. They don't know that if they just finish elementary school, finish middle school, finish high school, finish college, that they have an opportunity to be a productive citizen in society. However, in these urban areas where there's not many resources, you know, you're telling a kid in one area that he needs to go to class and be an A student where there's no lights on at home, or there's no gas in the house, or there's nothing to eat, and then he has to wear the same clothes versus a kid who might stay in a little better area, and he has all the other resources, and then he gets the A's, but the other guy gets the lower grade. Now, I happen to be married for 29 years and have 6 girls, and my baby now is 17 years old, and she had to endure that lifestyle with a daddy who understood that I had to be a father to her in spite of my circumstances. And she now holds a grade point average of 4.5. Well, that's because we have mom and dad in the house, with God being our covenant, and knowing that we're covered in the blood of Jesus. Now, that's our faith. I would hope that it can, what He'll do for me, He'll do for anyone else, because that's what the Word says. But you have to believe it. Faith without works is dead.
Yes, that is a definite proverb, you know, to live by, Coach. And Coach, just shifting gears a little bit.
Yes.
Now, of course, you being a coach, tell me, has there been a player where you're watching the game at all? Was there any information that you have shared with Coach Carroll that wound up materializing on the football field in some way, shape, or form?
Well, you know, this is definitely inside scoop, but we talked for about an hour the day before the game, and he said, Cornell, what do you think? I said, well, Coach, you know how we do it, baby. You know, we got to finish what we start, and it ain't how we start, but it's definitely how we finish, and we got to finish to the very, very end, right? And so I saw the newscaster at halftime, the young lady, and she came back, and she said, I spoke to Coach Carroll, and he said, we got to finish what we started. It ain't how we start, but it's how we finish. And I was so tickled. Boy, I said, look at Coach. There we go. So life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I know that Coach Carroll spoke life into these gentlemen. He loved them. They love him back. And they played above their means. And that's why he's accomplished something that most people haven't accomplished in Seattle.
Cornell Ward, do you think what Pete Carroll told the team and what he told the reporter there, to it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and that's been his mantra here in Seattle with the Seahawks, is that something that you taught him, or did he teach you that when you first met him at USC?
Well, I believe that's something that we grew into with each other. You know, he's always helped me, and I've always kind of took him and helped him in other ways. I mean, we just have an autonomous relationship that most people don't have, but I'm happy to be a friend of his and his family as well. So, I you know, my hat goes off to Coach Carroll for doing a fine job, and I'm sure there's many more things that he's going to accomplish in his tenure as a Seattle Seahawk.
Cornell Ward, thank you so much for your time tonight. The executive director at Unity One Foundation. Find them at UnityOneFoundationInc.org, helping inner city children and youth in the Los Angeles area. Good friend of Seattle Seahawk Super Bowl winning coach Pete Carroll. How does that sound, Coach Ward? Super Bowl winning coach Pete Carroll.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I just want everybody to know out there that's listening that you need to take this 10-pound challenge with us. That's what we're promoting yes. now. If you lose 10 pounds, you know, hey, 30 meals will go to obesity children worldwide, and we want to take 10 pounds off the world at a time so we can provide resources to those kids who are, you know, less fortunate. So I just want to share that with everyone that's listening.
Thank you, Coach Ward. The Project 10 Challenge, Coach Ward and myself definitely taking a step forward towards that and losing some weight, man. And so, hey, you know, when we were down in Miami last week, you know, I thought you looked great.
Oh, well, fantastic. I thought the same, buddy. You know, I try to figure out if I got to lose the game, which one I got to do. But I'm really thankful for being on your show.
Well, thank you again, Coach. It's a pleasure having you on, and blessings to you.
Thank you very much.
Be on the lookout for his upcoming book, There Is a Way Out. Cornell Ward, the author, and the foreword by Seattle Seahawks head coach and his good friend, Pete Carroll.
Man, you know, another guest, you know, Coach Ward, a lot of insight. I mean, he gave us some cool little tidbits there on preparation and some of the things that he's doing in the inner city. And you know, of course, having a great friend like Coach Carroll. I mean, again, as we've mentioned before, he gets a bad rap for a lot of stuff, but man, what a big heart Coach Carroll has. And it's no wonder the team that he has took care of business like they did yesterday.
Definitely a fast-paced show, a fast-paced game yesterday. If you were Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks, two big-time guests in the books here tonight. Big thank you to Nick Ferguson, former safety for the Denver Broncos and a few other teams in the NFL. And we just said goodbye to Cornell Ward. Great, great show here. Number 38 on the Double with the Double S Express, delivered by Papa John's Tri-Cities.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product. Helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 38, going strong. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Two big-time guests in the books. A big thank you to former NFL safety and Denver Bronco Nick Ferguson and Coach Cornell Ward, Executive Director at Unity One Foundation in the greater L.A. area.
Man, it was just two awesome guests that we've had on the show. And, you know, of course, we always pride ourselves, Sean Wally, on giving that positive perspective on, you know, sports in general. And so it doesn't have to be players. It's players, coaches, broadcasters, journalists, you name it. You know, we're looking for that positive side. And so, you know, two awesome, awesome guests tonight. Very, very pleased to have them on the show.
And not only that, but we have to throw fans in the mix. If anybody was at the Super Bowl, like Paul White that we interviewed last week,
yeah,
or anybody yeah. else that went to the game and wants to talk about their experience, give us a call, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471, and let us know what it was like at MetLife Stadium in New York City, the entire experience.
Yeah, you know, the whole Super Bowl experience we want to know about. And, of course, as we started the intro of our show and then going to break, we got Bruno Mars, even one of the greater – man, that halftime show, Sean Wally, was probably one of the best halftime shows that I've seen. Bruno really put on a show.
Yeah, Bruno was awesome, and you add the Red Hot Chili Peppers in there. I think you hit
yes.
all kinds of fan bases mixing those two together, and it was a good time. Had by all. There was an average of 115 million watching the halftime show and a record average of 111.5 million watching the entire Super Bowl, the most watched television show in the history of TV.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, Sean, because, you know, one of the things going into the game, all the way up to kickoff, is, you know, you're hearing some of the stories about the game not selling out, that there were tickets that were still for sale, and it was one of the first times that that has ever happened in Super Bowl history. But when it all came down to it, ratings-wise, it surpassed beyond belief, you know, the records. And so what does that say? What does that say about the product that Roger Goodell and the NFL put on over the weekend?
You know, it was a fabulous event for the entire New York, New Jersey area, and the NFL really dodged a bullet, as you can see today from the weather there. The snow started, you know, a few hours after the Super Bowl ended, and the fans and players were back at their hotels, and everybody was gone. And schools are closed today. Flights are getting delayed or canceled. And they really did just barely dodge that bullet. And you have to wonder, is it the football gods? Is it just luck? And I don't mean Andrew. And, you know, it's the largest city on the continent. And, you know, it went very, very well. They have to be pleased with everything that went down in New York, New Jersey this weekend.
Yeah, I would have to say that, you know, if I were to give a grade, I would say that it was an A-plus all around. I mean, as far as the stage that was set, you're talking about New York City, as you said, the largest city on the continent. And, you know, there is MetLife Stadium that is center stage. Now, I've hardly ever taken a glance or looked at MetLife Stadium, you know, as a whole. But when you take a look at that venue, what a beautiful stadium. I mean, it is the architecturally sound put together. And I believe that Roger Goodell, that's what he was trying to do, is he was trying to showcase, you know, some of the newer the newer stadiums, and of course this one being one of them, being renovated. And I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful spectacle beginning to end. And you know, with the exception of the lopsided score, I would say that, you know, the NFL did an excellent job on this one.
Now, Sean Boyd, you were one that prognosticated a close Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos sneaking away with a 24-21 victory. A lot of the so-called experts picked the Denver Broncos to win the game. You had the number one offense ever in the game of football in the NFL taking on Seattle's vaunted defense, and yet majority of the credit was going to the Broncos. And look how it turned out. Your take.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of see it a little bit different, Sean Wally. I think that, you know, for the most part, I know that they said 66% of the country was saying that the Denver Broncos were going to win the game. But when you talk to a lot of the media prognosticators, it sounded like it was 50-50 right down the middle. You had, you know, players who are broadcasters and analysts that were forming their alliance. And what I mean by that is if they were an offensive player, they were going for Denver. If they were a defensive player, they're going for Seattle. And so I think that it was more balanced. I think Seattle wants to try to say that it was us against the world. I didn't really see it that way. I saw that the more Seattle started to win and Seattle moved on in the playoffs, that the more people started to respect them. And I think that Seattle really needs to embrace that, hey, we've got the championship. It's ours now. Let's get off of that. We have arrived. We're the team now. We're the world champions. Yeah, we had to prove a little, but I think that there was more respect given than what Seattle wants to give the rest of the country.
Well, the 12th man and even the team, you know, the Doug Baldwins who don't take very well to the Chris Carters of the world that talk about the receivers being appetizers and whatnot. You know, it's to the point of so what? So what if the country doesn't believe or the country doesn't think you're great? You went out and you showed the world last night you are great. You went out and showed the world that the second best team in the league is not in the AFC. The second best team in the league and the Super Bowl of all pretenses of best teams was the NFC Championship, 49ers at Seahawks.
More importantly, what I believe what the message should have been portrayed, and I believe what Doug Baldwin was trying to portray, was that it takes a team to actually win the championship. Now, Seattle was more of a complete team. Seattle had more of a cohesion. Not taking anything away from the Denver Broncos, because I believe that there was enough cohesion on their team, but just not as much as Seattle. The Denver Broncos had a lot of stars on their team that could actually change a game. But when it comes down to it, and when a team actually you know, puts themselves together as a unit, it makes them tough to beat. And what Coach Cornell Ward was saying before, and the way Pete Carroll is as a head coach, I mean, no greater person than to unify a team. You're talking about a guy who's 60, I believe in his late 60s, I believe, Sean, if I'm correct, and he goes around like he's in his mid-20s, and people want to play for him, and people understand his style of play. And, you know, not taking anything away from Coach John Fox, because, you know, he's done a great job in getting his team set and prepared to get to the Super Bowl. But I wonder about that connection. I wonder about, you know, how much continuity that head coach has in contrast to what Pete Carroll had with his players. And I think that was the difference, is the unity aspect, which is why Seattle became victorious.
Absolutely. I mean, it proves that football, as most sports, they're more than just one entity. It's more than just, okay, Denver has the most prolific scoring offense ever. Well, how's their defense? How's their special teams? What's their turnover ratio? And all of that came into play, and Seattle was far and away better yesterday.
And, you know, no doubt about it, defensive, you know, we've said this before, defenses win championships. And even with that being said, there was still a little bit, you know, in me that was saying, you know, I believe Peyton Manning can actually pull this out. I thought that he was good enough that even if his team was average, that he could will it, to win, and that wasn't the case. Seattle's defense, Seattle's team in totality was so much stronger and so collective that it was such a powerful force that Denver could not answer it. I mean, right from the beginning, it just seemed like it was doom, especially from the snap. And so, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, as the game went on, it steamrolled and Seattle got stronger and stronger and stronger. And they're the world champions because of it today.
And Sean, what is your take on head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll, now, after 4 years back in the NFL, taking Seattle from the bottom dwellers in the NFC West to right there in the playoffs, the divisional round last year, and then all the way to Super Bowl champions in year four, versus your thoughts on him leaving USC, compare and contrast your thoughts then and now?
You know, it is a great thing to see a man evolve into greatness. And so when I say that, I say that with the utmost humbleness. In the beginning, it seemed when Pete Carroll was at USC and all these things kind of materialized as far as the whole Reggie Bush deal and their sanctions that are going on, you know, hey, common sense said that Pete Carroll was running for high water. And you know, I was one of the ones, Sean Wally, that, you know, looked at that and I said, gosh, you know, I don't know. But, you know, one of the things that Coach Ward was talking about in his book that's coming out is that, you know, he wasn't always the man that you see him today. And, you know, there were some struggles that he went through, and I'm sure there was a maturation that Coach Ward went through, just like Coach Carroll went through, as far as, man, those things that I used to do, I no longer do. And so, you know, with that being said, I believe that Coach Carroll has done a great job in not just in reinventing who he is as a professional coach, because this was his second stint as a professional coach. I'm sorry, third stint as a professional coach. But just the understanding of I have to change who I am as a man in order to lead many. And with that being said, I think Coach Carroll deserves an excellent, excellent round of applause on that one, because his team responds to, it seems like, everything that he does. And it'll be interesting to see in the next few years, you know, with the exception, I know that Nick Ferguson was talking about free agency. You know, I would like to see Seattle stick around. Some of these guys stick around for a little bit and see how far they could take it.
Well, the key is John Schneider, the GM, and he is taking the cap, the salary cap, and looking to the future, and he's not mortgaging it. He's not, even all the money they're paying Percy Harvin is not hindering them moving forward. They haven't signed anybody to that humongously ridiculous deal. Granted, Percy's getting a lot of money, but he proved that staying healthy, he's worth it. Look what he did yesterday. You've got Russell Wilson coming back here in 2014 when the season rolls around in the summer. He is still only making about $550,000, $600,000, which is next to nothing for not only a starting quarterback in the NFL, but a Super Bowl champion that set the record for most wins in the NFL in your first two seasons, with the win yesterday at the Super Bowl at 28, surpassing one Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. And, you know, Richard Sherman's contract can now be renegotiated and get extended. Same with Earl Thomas. But guess what? They don't have to do either of them because they both have one more year left on their rookie deals. So there isn't really a huge hole or anybody that they might lose that is going to create an issue. You know, they've got Golden Tate is done with his original deal. So you have to decide, bring him back or not, and does the money line up? And then outside of that, you've got the guy that came in on a one-year deal that was originally signed as an undrafted player, Michael Bennett, who far and away may be the best D lineman or one of the best D linemen in the league. And he is ready to come back, and he is the number one priority to re-sign in Seattle, if you believe the rumors and what NFL Network is saying coming out of Seahawks headquarters.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Percy Harvin. He's probably the only one on the team right now that is making what we'd like to say ridiculous money. And what I mean by that is I believe he received $16 million with $11 million guaranteed. That is a lot of money. And so, of course, you know, Seattle doesn't have to – a lot of the key players don't have to negotiate until next year, but they still have to negotiate. And so that's going to be the question mark. And this is the other part of football. You know, as much as these guys love to play together and as much as they love to win, there's a humanistic side that, if Seattle's not careful, if they have a particular agent, you know, their agent's going to push and try to, you know, get certain types of things, extra things for these players. And what I mean by that is if Tom Brady's making a certain amount of money and Tom Brady's won a championship, well, guess what? Russell Wilson needs to make at least somewhere near that. And so as much as these guys love each other and play together and want to be together, that part of football is the part that can actually break things up.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. And man, it's been one fast, furious show. 38 here. Great big-time guest, former NFL safety Nick Ferguson, played with the Denver Broncos, gave us his insight on the Super Bowl that an average of 111.5 million people watched. Just a great game if you're a fan of the Seattle Seahawks and the 12th man. And then, of course, our big-time guest number two, Cornell Ward, executive director at Unity One Foundation, inner city, Los Angeles, helping kids succeed. And man, it's been a great show dissecting the Super Bowl and hearing what is going on in the lives of Nick Ferguson and Coach Ward. And when we come back, we will get our final thoughts on the Super Bowl and moving forward and what might be coming up next week here on The Double with the Double S Express, delivered by Papa John's Tri-Cities.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. I'm Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Show number 38, my friend. First guest of the show, big time guest Nick Ferguson on the show, formerly of the Denver Broncos and Houston Texans, giving his perspective on the Denver Broncos. And of course, our second guest, Coach Cornell Ward, giving a great insight on today's youth and what he's doing in the inner cities, and of course Seattle and Coach Carroll. Sean, show number 38. What say you about this one, my friend?
Hey, it's been a great show. We've had fabulous guests and bringing great people on the show to tell their story and to give their insight on whatever sport they might have that insight on. And, you know, it's just great to learn from all of our guests, and everybody has great stories. And, you know, it seems like everybody has a common theme that succeeds at whatever they're doing, whether it be Jake Olson last week, McKay Christensen, his co-author, Nick Ferguson made it to the NFL, Cornell Ward doing great things with youth and mentoring and coaching. And, you know, the bottom line is believing and faith and not giving up. And that's what the show's about. That's what we're about. That's what you, Sean Boyd, have done your life. And, you know, it's just a phenomenal thing that is going on when you look at the different leaders all over the country, all over the world, in whatever job, whatever profession, whether you're a bus driver, a garbage truck driver, a waste management worker, you know, you're a teacher, you know, goodness, teachers, if you're a teacher out there, you know, thank you so very much. And that is one of the most thankless jobs, and you don't get paid nearly enough. You should be paid what the pro athletes are paid. But unfortunately, that's not the way it works in this day and age. And maybe someday the tides will turn. And, you know, Sean Boyd, you know, guys like you doing great things and coaching and mentoring yourself. And here we are on the double, just trying to continue the good word and keep the positive moving forward.
Well, you know, we had to learn this from someplace, Sean Wally. And of course, you know, I've learned this from my father and, you know, Gil Boyd back in Tacoma, Washington. And if you're listening, Dad, definitely praying for you. Father's been in the hospital and under the weather, to say the least, actually. And, you know, he's going to be in the hospital for a couple of days. And just letting you know, Dad, thinking about you and praying for you and love you. And your guidance that you've been giving me day in and day out, I never take for granted. And so, you know, you're right, Sean. They're great things to learn and good things to move forward in the future.
And, you know, it's hopefully Mr. Gil Boyd, your father, is able to realize that he has touched so many more lives than he probably understands and realizes, being in the school system, being an instructor in Tacoma Public Schools, and you know, every interaction with the youth of the Northwest. And there are so many thousands of not only students, but also teachers that can probably tell great stories of amazing things your father's done. And the years I have known you and him, it's been nothing but pleasure and nothing but enormous warmness and heartfelt goodness coming from your father and from you, and hopefully he knows that, and hopefully that your good brother Pat is with him in the hospital playing this show for him live, because he deserves to listen to the show he loves to listen to, and that can be done on any cell phone. So hopefully that's the case, and if not, he'll get this show on demand and definitely get better fast and get back to getting home and moving on to spring that's going to come around the corner.
Yeah, you know, and thank you, Sean. Thank you for those kind words, man. And I know he's going to have a great and speedy recovery. And, man, the football season has come to a close. And actually, the football season's never really come to a close if you think about it. But, you know, 2013 season is at an end, and the Seattle Seahawks are victorious, Sean Wally. How do you feel about that?
You know, euphoric is the word and the thought I had yesterday. And, you know, being a self-proclaimed member of the 12th man and then born and raised in the Pacific Northwest and backing my team through the 2-14 seasons and getting stomped by your Raiders and the Broncos back in the day. And, you know, when I was a young kid, losing game after game, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, running into the bathroom or the back bedroom and crying because my team lost again. You know, maybe they were good enough to stay in it for 2/3 of the game and think they have a chance. And then, of course, blow it in the end. You know, we've all been there at some point, whether you're the, you know, the Green Bay Packers, Titletown. Well, they've had rough times, too. Everything is cyclical. And, you know, at some point, things come back around and you hopefully get better unless you're the reincarnation of the Cleveland Browns.
Man, and, you know, that's a good one. I like that. I like that.
And, you know, it what really hit home with me and with this team ever since Pete Carroll's been here and took over is confidence. And I was really never that nervous as a fan because of how prepared Coach Carroll and all the coaches get this team and how confident the players are, regardless if they were undrafted, a first rounder, which there aren't many on that squad, or a seventh rounder like Mr. Malcolm Smith, who, guess what, won the MVP and was at Disney World today. And I don't know if you knew this, Sean Boyd, but Malcolm Smith is the younger brother of former Giants receiver Steve Smith. So he's got NFL in his blood. And there's so many stories of guys that were taken in rounds 4, 5, 6, 7 are undrafted. Jermaine Kearse, Doug Baldwin, who scored 2 touchdowns. Kearse got 1, Baldwin got 1. So, you know, it just goes to show what we're trying to sell and tell everybody out there is never give up. And you can achieve anything you want to. And all you have to do is look at NFL rosters across the entire country in the NFL, not just in Seattle. But Seattle's a good place to look because 21 of the 53-man roster, 21 of those guys were drafted round 5 later or not drafted at all.
That's the voice of Sean Wally giving us the perspective of being a champion. And, of course, this time of the year is the changing of the guard. It's to where the new champion is crowned. And it is where the rest of the other 30 teams can actually go back to the drawing board and have visions of grandeur looking forward to next year. So that's episode number or show number 38 for On the Double with the Double S Express. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, our engineer. It has been a great show. We look forward to talking with you next week. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.